You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Monday, welcome to All Marine Radio. That's right. Hope you had a good weekend. I built stuff all weekend. Yeah, I did like project after project after project. And I organized and I cleaned. So I'm going to tell you, man, I'm maximizing the self-isolation stuff. Yeah, I have all these bins in my garage. That was on my list of things to do. Yeah, I went all through that. And turned the music on in my garage and went through my bins. And then I number them. And then I don't detail itemize what's in them. But I kind of sort of itemize what's in them. And so when I have to go look for something, I know generally where to find it. I built a pull-up bar in the backyard, right? Thing's about 10 feet across. And it was initially not tall enough because it's up in an elevated part. And so I built it what I thought was tall enough. But then when you work out on the bar, there's this part of the fence that it's the part of the retaining wall, right? So you go from grass, retaining wall, and then the retaining wall has a cap. And then inside that garden area is a pull-up bar. Well, the top part of that retaining wall, right? So you go inside over the retaining wall, and the dirt doesn't start until you drop about 6 inches. So there's a problem there. So I had to raise by putting on a couple more feet of 2x6, 4x6, I'm sorry. On top of that, so I did that. So fix that. Then I thought, you know what? Colleen and I use it, right? Or at least in theory, we're going to. And so you need like a lot of pull-up bars. Off to the side have like either a wooden or a metal thing, depending on what you step on. So I thought, well, I should do that. So I figured out a way to do that. And then I thought, you know, you put if that thing's a little bit damp or your shoe's damp and you try to step on that, you'll slip. So I have experience from my time on the USS Ranger with cleaning what was known as the blue tile area. And the blue tile area is where the admiral lives, right? Where the CEO of the ship is on one floor, and then above him is where the they used to be called carrier battle groups. Now I think they're called strike groups or something like that. Anyway, there's two floors. And the tile's blue. So the tile on the rest of the ship is is green. And then If you see red tile, you will normally see that around nuclear weapons bases. And that means you don't stand in the red tile, okay? Color-coded for your dumbass. So when you see red tile, that means I shouldn't be here. But blue tile is the admirals. Well, there was only one group of people on the ship that were fit to maintain the blue tile. And those were the Marines. And so every night, they would go up there in their PT gear, and the squad leader, whoever's going up there with them, would be in uniform. But the Marines would be, I want to say it'd be after 2200, they would go up there. They would have cups of bleach. They would have cups of wax, right? And they would, and on most nights, they would maybe do a little sanding, and they'd take a little bleach, and they'd remove some spots, and then they'd have to re-wax that area. So the the other thing that we used to have to put up there is non-skid. Now, I don't know if you know what non-skid is, but non-skid is like a rough surface. So they were rectangular patches, and they're a rough surface. So immediately before and immediately after you get through a hatch on a U.S. Navy ship, you have non-skid. That way you don't slip going through. And let me just tell you, for those people who have lived on ship, you have a permanent notch and scab on each one of your legs, just at about, I want to say, maybe somewhere between 3 and 6 inches above your ankle, and that is from your shin hitting the hatches that you step through on a regular basis on a ship. Talking to somebody, not paying attention, crack. Yeah. So when you live on a ship every couple of weeks, and they're just, you have them forever. But anyway, the non-skid before and after. So I found some non-skid material. Yeah, cut it out, and then Gorilla glued it to the top of the, yeah, so these things are tricked out. These things are custom. Yep. So, and my side's different in terms of height. Colleen's is higher than mine. So you could step up, grab the bar under control, blah, 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 blah. So I did that. I did one other project outside too. Planted some flowers, did that. But I want to talk about some news. Kim Jong-un, what's going on with that, right? So this morning, if you haven't seen the news, the North Korean media offers a letter as proof that he's still alive. He sent a thank you letter to builders in a seaside resort. The Rodong Sinmom outlet claimed Monday that Kim penned the message to builders working on a tourism project in Wonsan, where South Korea believes the leader has been staying since April 13th. Quote, Supreme Leader Kim Jong-un has sent his appreciation to the workers who devoted themselves to building the Wonsan Calma tourist zone. The Korean Central Broadcast Station made a similar report, according to Yonhap, which is the news company out of South Korea. These reports are the latest about the North Korea strongman. Now, satellite images monitor his train, right? And his train's not going anywhere. Satellite imagery showed what appeared to be Kim's personal train parked at a station in his Wonsan compound since at least April 21st. The train obviously doesn't prove where he's at, but just saying, he ain't moving around. Missed the April 15th commemoration of his grandfather, the founder of North Korea. There's other rumors that he may have been injured during a recent missile test and he went into hiding. after one of his and one of his bodyguards contracted COVID-19. Another Chinese source said that he skipped his grandfather's ceremony because of possible infection. A Chinese news source over the weekend said he was dead. A Chinese, not Taiwan, Chinese, said that he was dead. Another South Korean outlet said an unnamed U.S. official said that he had left Pyongyang for Wonsan to avoid the virus. Other South Korean sources say he's alive and well. He was last seen on April 11th. He is claimed to have undergone heart surgery the following day. The president's only comment was that, based on what he knows, he's fine. The president. I'll tell you what. I've said for a while that the whole briefing thing is lame. Now, I know my friends, like Tim Lynch loves him. He loves when the president does battle with the media, and Tim thinks he kills them all the time. I don't. I don't like it. I don't think it looks very presidential. I don't think he needs to stand out there and trade blows with, the reporters who are trying to play the gotcha game, right? And Donald Trump is not, courting Tim Lynch. Tim Lynch will vote for him. He's courting the undecided, right? He's got to keep everybody. He's got to hold serve, right? He's got to keep those people in the middle that elected him. And I think the daily exposure got old a couple weeks ago. And then it finally went over the top last week when he mused. And I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's just say for the sake of, discussion. I mean, he's obviously a smart guy. And he just means, hey, is there any way that that technology could be used in humans? A version of it could be used in humans. Some derivative could be used. Let's just give him every benefit of the doubt. But what the media did with that, right? I mean, just been drugged through the street. And I don't think you can tell Donald Trump too much about the media and how to handle his image if you're on his staff. He's going to tell you, because every person that has ever advised him probably has told him things that are contrary to what he's done. And it has all seemed to work out. So I don't think you'll see him, no matter what. I saw an interview this morning with his new press secretary. Evidently, the briefings are going to change. Now, the narrative is, he's going to turn two on the economy. I think the reality is he got burned. Yeah, Donald Trump's one of those guys who thinks that if I can just keep talking, at some point I will sway you. Okay? So anyway, to me, it's those people in the middle. Now, this is good for the Democrat. The whole COVID-19 thing is good because Joe Biden's not out there screwing everything up. I mean, honestly, the more that guy stays out of the public view, the better it is for Democrats. Because they're going to find that he didn't do it that good. He never has been very good. And so, my father used to say to me when he's a baseball manager in the big leagues. And so when somebody would fail, a relief pitcher, a pinch hitter or something like that, he would say to me, who actually failed? Did I put them in a situation where there was no chance of them being successful? Or did I put them in a situation that they could clearly, historically they've done well in, and they just didn't do it that time? So that's a pretty good question, right? And when you're asking Joe Biden for something he can't give you, then I'm not sure who the fool is. Okay, the Democratic Party possibly, in that they couldn't find a strong moderate, right? They couldn't find a strong moderate candidate to take back the center because the entire spotlight rested on people that were on the far left, right? And the further left you were, you know, the more attention you got. And as a result, right, now Biden's great task is to somehow or other try to win back the middle voter. Well, to me, the president, you know, he has this great opportunity. A crisis is made for a leader. I used to tell my lieutenants this, and my staff NCOs and my NCOs, the reason you exist is because of a crisis. That's why the whole Marine Corps not running the PFT thing is so troubling. We always conquer that shit. Always. It doesn't conquer us. We conquer it. That's how it works. The whole improvise, adapt, and overcome, or figure it the fuck out. All right? Do you want me to solve it for you? No, sir. Okay. Then go back over there and figure it out. Let me know when you got it done, and let me come check it out. Remember, don't worry about being perfect. Just win. So anyway, yeah. That middle voter is the target. That middle voter is the target. And the daily part political rally, part COVID-19 update, you know, in my opinion, got old and tired because of him. Now, you know, he talked about the ratings and all that, so this would be a good thing for the country. And ultimately, if you're a conservative, you want him to stop doing it, I think. I'll tell you a really interesting thing that happened over the weekend. And that is the Pentagon, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the Secretary of Defense did not accept the Navy's recommendation to reinstate the captain of the USS Theodore Roosevelt. So let me explain how this should work. I'm the chairman. You're the SecDef. Whoever, XYZ, comes to us as the Chief of Naval Operations and the Acting Secretary of the Navy, they come to us and they say, hey, we've conducted an inquiry and we want to reinstate Brett Crozier. I've never, ever heard of this happen in my life. So if you're Millie, and I'm Esper, or however we did that, all right? We sit down, look at you, and say, do you understand the precedent that you're setting here? Okay, now, let me just caution both of you before we go much further here. You are going to create a situation where people aren't going to read your inquiry. They're not going to understand the piece of terrain that you've carved out with your X-Acto knife so that you can reinstate him. What they're going to know is this. He didn't like what was going on. He went public with his grievances over those above him. And now he's going to get his command back. So the next time somebody finds themselves in a similar spot, won't be COVID-19, maybe it's orders to go someplace. And they push back on the orders, and they get the shut up and color response. Will any of us be surprised when their email gets in the media? Answer, no. The effect that you're going to have on commanders in every branch of the military, right, is substantial. And so the article... There's an article, headline, Top Pentagon Leaders Split on Next Step for a Fired Captain Who Warned of Coronavirus. Okay. And so, again, headline writers, right? He wasn't fired for warning of the coronavirus. He was fired for being insubordinate. All right. Now, the chairman says he wants an investigation, not a simple naval inquiry. And I would say this, he doesn't trust him. He doesn't trust the Navy. Next question is, who's going to do the investigation? Is he going to leave it to the Navy to conduct a full investigation, or will there be, you know, soldiers, sailors, Air Force guys, and Navy guys that do the investigation? The nation's top military officer wants a broader investigation into the events leading up to the firing, this is from Politico, of American aircraft carrier Captain Brett Crozier. The push by General Mark Milley, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, to open a full-blown investigation into the incident would delay a final decision on reinstating Brett Crozier after the Navy completed its extensive preliminary inquiry, according to officials. Quote, Milley isn't faulting Crozier, the official said. He wants more than just an inquiry. That's a holdup. That's the holdup. Now, if I trust you, I do what you tell me to do. All right. Navy leaders verbally briefed Defense Secretary Mark Esper on recommendations in the service's preliminary inquiry Friday afternoon, according to Pentagon spokesman John Hoffman. Once Esper receives a written copy of the completed inquiry, he will thoroughly review the report and will meet again with Navy leaders to discuss next steps. Pentagon leaders, however, are now at an impasse about how to move forward. While Milley wants a broader inquiry, CNO Mike Gilday and Acting Secretary of Navy James McPherson want to move ahead with reinstating Crozier. Esper may be the deciding vote between the two camps. A final decision is expected this week. So, interesting. Honestly, to me, if Crozier gets reinstated and I follow the dots, okay, and the dots are this, Crozier's unhappy. The Secretary of the Navy isn't really involved in it other than he spoke with him once. He doesn't get involved in later in the issue, okay? And the Secretary of the Navy's chief of staff had made phone calls to Crozier. Crozier's beef is with the one star, the two star, and the three star above him. So if Crozier was right and he's going to be reinstated, which one of them goes? Who wasn't doing their job? How did this get screwed up? And if you say it was just miscommunication, then Crozier's insubordinate and can't be given his command back. So what you have to do is you have to say, okay, his insubordination was valid because X, Admiral X, did not perform his or her duties out there. They're all guys, so it's a his. Okay? So that's in the news. So kind of interesting little palace intrigue going on. The chef. Keep the chef in your prayers. He's going to have a little surgery. So he's not going to join us for a little while. So say a prayer for him. The Vietnam War, I finished watching that Saturday. And, you know, we had an interesting conversation last week about it because Tim and I watched it for the second time. Jeff watched it for the first time. And I had a thought while I was cleaning my garage out, and that is this. Every one of the characters that is involved in the series for any length of time, right, shows you multiple perspectives on Vietnam. Okay. And you see them conflicted, and so I think every one of those characters conveys the same message. And so whether you're talking about the issue of whether we should have gone to war, right, how we got there, whether you actually talk about the actual fighting of the war, right, which is what you see the veterans in there talking about, or the political lies and the spin that happened all around the war. So no matter, or the social response to it. So I think my own opinion, just from watching, and I'd be curious to hear Ken Burns talk about it. I think what they try to convey by the changing positions of the characters is how complex and difficult the issue is. And if you look at just one character in it, Musgrave. I think his name is Bill Musgrave, but anyway, I'm not sure of his first name, but he's a Marine. And Jeff loved that guy at the start. And he talked about Timmy hates because he talked about how scared he was. Timmy hates that. And Timmy, you know, went off on, we were the hunters, you know, we weren't, you know, okay. Well, he was there. That was how he felt. So anyway, but you see this kaleidoscope of that guy. Then he comes home and he goes to college and he feels alienated. Then he believes as veterans that he's got a voice that needs to be heard. And he talks about when John Kerry spoke, right? When John Kerry spoke in front of, I think it was the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He said he was speaking for me. Now, I think there's day two of John Kerry's testimony in which John Kerry gets into the hearsay of atrocities and things like that, where Kerry alienates many veterans. Okay. So anyway, I don't want to get into that, but Musgrave says that. Then he tells, you know, one of the things we talked about was disrespect, right? With burning the flag and things like that. Well, Musgrave and the throwing of the medals at the Capitol. Well, Musgrave talked about what they were going to do that day with their medals, right? They wanted to send a powerful message. And they were holding a rally, and it was going to lead to the steps of the Capitol. Well, I guess in the 2 days before the rally, they constructed a fence in front of the Capitol and wouldn't let them near the Capitol steps. And he says, you can see the emotion, that pissed me off. And he said, that's why we threw our medals. Well, to me, now, Jeff may not want to admit this, and he could say he would never do it. But I can see my friends, some of my friends doing that. If we felt like that, and then somebody put a fence up to keep us the fuck out, we would say not only no, but fuck no. So to me, even that issue of them throwing their medals, that's not what they intended to do that day. What they were going to do was take their medals, put them in a body bag, right? And put those on the steps of the Capitol. That's what that was the plan. So to me, as I thought about the Vietnam series, if you only watched it once, I would ask you to watch it again. I'd be curious to know your thoughts about it. But I think it's designed, every one of those characters changes. Not one is a singular person, right? In terms of their position. Every one of them, you see them change. And their struggle to change. Musgrave says, I've always conducted myself as a Marine. That's how I think. Right? That's how I think. So that's interesting. The other thing I want to talk about before we get going today is so one of the highlights of my day is going to Home Depot. I know it's pretty sad, but that's the truth. Okay. So I go to Home Depot looking for non-skid yesterday. So I find it and it's in a roll and somebody's got to come cut it for me. So I go find this guy and he's probably, I don't know, between 25 and 30. And I said, hey man, could you help me? He goes, sure. So he comes. So we start talking. I'm like, how's everything going here? He goes, all right. He goes, I'm still working, which is good. I said, yeah. I said, that is good. And he said, no, Home Depot's been really good. And I said, yeah, you know, I, you know, watching the whole beach thing here in Southern California, you know, look, if I can come in here and wear my mask, and I kind of, you know, you all have heard it if you listen to the program, but if I can go in Home Depot and wear my mask, why can't I go into Big Five Sporting Goods and wear my mask and social distance and do the exact same thing? So why can't we reopen retail? question mark. And so he said, look, he said, I'm lucky. He said, you know, my dad raised me to save 20%. No, he said, give 10% of my money to God. He said, which I do, save 10% and pay myself and then live on 80% of my money. He said, so that's what I do. So I had money saved. He said, my girlfriend, you know, we've kind of divided up the bills. We live together. And he said, she saves 50% of her money. And he said, so she works in the tourism industry for a travel company, specializing in visits to China. He said, so she got laid off right away. Were it not for that money, he said, I don't know what we'd be doing right now. I said, well, you'd be in line down at IKEA, you know, to receive free food. And he said, that's exactly where I'd be. He said, I mean, I don't imagine. And then he said this, which I thought was interesting because he's a pretty young guy. He said, you know, people are going to get frustrated. And there's a lot of Americans that have guns. And he said, if they don't figure out a way to begin to reopen the state, and he said, the governor of California thinks we're going to do this till June 15th. He's crazy. We're not. People won't. And I was like, whoa, young guy. And then, I mean, Friday and Saturday were hot here. And when I say hot near the coast, so inland, it's got to be in, you know, well into the 90s. No air conditioning, right? I'm gonna sit in my hot ass house and not get out and be outside. But I can tell you here in Costa Mesa, you can't go to the park. Yeah, the parks are closed. But people were doing it. I honked and waved. Power to the people, right? It's our park. It's not their park. And again, I can be responsible for me. So pretty interesting encounter in Home Depot. Now, I want to, I put this in this article in the, but I would call it to your attention again, because every study I see points out the same thing. Okay. And that is many, many, many more of us have the COVID-19 antibody than were originally thought to be infected. Okay. So what the antibody test is telling us is how many people had it, had no reaction to it, right, and just continued on with their lives, or thought they had a cold or some other respiratory infection and just powered through it. So the article's called "The Data Is In: Stop the Panic and Then the Total Isolation." It's written by a doctor, Scott W. Atlas. Okay, now, just so you know his credentials, right? He's the David and Joan Trayton Senior Fellow at Stanford University's Hoover Institution and former Chief of Neuroradiology at Stanford University Medical Center. So I'm just going to read you the facts he points out. I'm not going to read you the argument, okay? Well, maybe a couple. Fact one, the overwhelming majority of people do not have any significant risk of dying from COVID-19. A recent Stanford University antibody study now estimates that the fatality rate, if infected, is likely 0.1 to 0.2%, a risk far lower than previous estimates that were 20 to 30 times higher. In New York City, the epicenter of the U.S. pandemic, the rate of death for people 18 to 45 is 0.01% or 10 in 100,000 in the population. On the other hand, people age 75 and over have a death rate 80 times that. For people under 18 years old, the death rate is 0 per 100,000. Of all the fatal cases in New York, 2/3 were patients over 70 years of age. More than 95% were 50 years of age. About 90% of all fatal cases had underlying illnesses. Of the 6,570 confirmed COVID-19 deaths fully investigated for underlying conditions to date, 6,520, or 99.2%, had an underlying illness. If you do not already have an underlying chronic condition, your chance of dying are small regardless of your age. As young adults and children in normal health have no risk of any serious illness from COVID-19. Fact number two, protecting older at-risk people eliminates hospital overcrowding, so they should stay at home. Fact number three, vital population immunity is prevented by total isolation policies prolonging the problem. So if you understand fact number one, and that is who's being made sick by this, the fact that we're all in our homes does not allow this thing to circulate in the population and allow everybody to build up their immunity, right? And again, in that immunity, 99.2% wouldn't be affected. Fact number four, people are dying because other medical care is not getting done due to hypothetical projections. So this is the panic part. I'm a public policy maker. I have this thing. I don't really understand it. My public health people are screaming at me. I'm watching on the news. Other communities are doing this. Okay, we'll do the same thing. Like I said, here in Southern California, right, that has not seen a spike in COVID-19, the parks, the beaches are closed. Stupid. And again, that's the overreaction of public policymakers. Fact number five, we have a clearly defined population at risk who can be protected with targeting measures. So target them and allow everybody else with social distancing rules in place until there can be a vaccine to go ahead and begin to resume their daily life. Now, I'll put this in today's post for hour number one as well, too. Okay, because I think it's hugely important. It is the data that's coming out of this. And there was a study at Stanford. There was two studies done in Southern California. There was another study, this from the New York City data, which he uses. Okay, every one of them is saying the same thing. This thing is much more, you know, into our population than we first even believed, which means the mortality rate is much lower, which means stop the overreaction. And it's data driven. It's not, you know, fairy dust. So I thought that was pretty interesting as well. All right. With all of that said, good morning to you. Welcome to All Marine Radio. John Gerlach from the State Department, formerly of the State Department. He's going to join us at the top of the hour in about 22, 27 minutes. So good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps ban makes Monday morning official. This is dedicated to the chef, man. I hope you feel better, and good luck this week.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, time to check the weather. Cloud in 52 in Quantico. Partly sunny and 62 at Camp Lejeune. On 29 Palms, it is sunny and 74 already, so it's going to be warm out there. Camp Pendleton, pretty normal. Partly sunny and 61. Honestly, absolutely gorgeous weekend here in Southern California over the weekend. Dark cloudy and 70 at Camp Smith in Hawaii. Dark cloudy 63 in Okinawa Shima, the home of the Marines of 3MEP. And Camp Butler, Camp Hansen, Camp Schwab, Futima Air Station, all of it. That's right. In Lashkargah in Afghanistan. And we're going to talk to John Gerlach about that. John was our State Department guy in Afghanistan. And he's gone back and he's done, power, development for different cities in Afghanistan, And so, anyhow, he's an interesting guy. He's a good guy. So you're going to get a chance to meet John Gerlach here in a little bit. You'll enjoy him. Anyway, it is evening, cloudy, and 85 in Lashkargah. In Ramadi, cooled off a little bit from late last week. Late in the afternoon, it is partly sunny and 80 degrees in Ramadi. At the home of All Marine Radio, mostly cloudy and 61. The wind chill sits at 61. Looking for a high of 76 today. With a little bit of morning overcast, so pretty typical for spring, summer, and halfway through the fall here in Southern California. Tomorrow, sunny and 76, and on Wednesday, mostly sunny and 76, which means it's going to be sunny and 76. That is a look at your weather. We will take a break. When we come back, we'll check some news headlines, some more news headlines, as we continue on Monday. Tomorrow, Grant Newsham is going to join us. Yep. So we'll talk to him about what he thinks of the whole North Korea thing. And then on Wednesday, I think I'm going to get Don Shields on, my public health guy, on this week as well. I want to. But on Wednesday, you're going to hear the third installment of the interview I've done with Daryl Horn. And this is what it was like to come home after being in Vietnam for a year. After being with 1st Battalion, 9th Marines, Operation Buffalo, how do you come home from that? So, and I'm going to tell you this, we recorded it on Friday, and it is an awesome interview. His wife, Marilyn, joins in, and interesting. So, it's a very, very cool interview. And let me just tell you something about them. They met in high school. They have an incredible love story. And I don't know that I've ever said anything like that on All Marine Radio. And it's very, very cool. The whole process of, Daryl retiring, and then he, for the first time in his life, he goes to see a therapist, and then he begins to write, and that the writing turns into a book, and it's the same one, the same story that you see in veterans and people that live through traumatic things in life, and that is this: And that is this. You go through traumatic experiences, and I think as human beings, we all need intimacy. I think you need more intimacy after traumatic experiences, because either you're maybe damaged a little bit, you need closeness a little more. I believe that, and it's a story I hear all the time. But you can't get that unless you allow them in, and so you're going to hear their story, and it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Somebody just sent me a message about the process, so give me 1 second. The legal process that is normally followed in a preliminary investigation is done, and then the senior leader that directed the preliminary investigation makes a determination if the situation warrants a full investigation. The unusual route would be to do a full investigation if there are enough facts to warrant it. Depending on the situation, the leader that is the subject of the investigation can be relieved, suspended, or left in place. Usually a preliminary investigation is done by an official from the service. In this case, I'm sure it was an admiral. I would guess anything, the acting SECNAV, and then in parentheses, Modley, was involved. General Milley would desire the DOD IG to follow the standard processes and do a full investigation because it would ensure every aspect of the situation would be looked at. Unfortunately, the downside is it will take months, and if they go that route, it would really be reasonable course of action to reinstate Crozier months from now. Oh, he asked a question without using a question mark. The downside is it will take months, and if they go that route, would it really be a reasonable COA to reinstate Crozier months from now? The answer to that is no, it would not be. I am guessing there is enough facts in the preliminary investigation that go to the core issues and why the CNO and new acting SECNAV recommended to reinstate now. I think the SECDEF will find a hybrid solution if he wants to reinstate Crozier and the president is on board with it. If he does not, determining a full investigation is warranted, is certainly a course of action to kick and can kick the can well down the road, and the issue will be long forgotten. From a Marine officer. I think the issues are not inconsequent. If we open this door, right, because people, you know, aren't going to read the nuanced, you know, preliminary investigation, what they're going to say is this: he wasn't happy and he let it rip in the media. And everybody else can say, oh, no, well, you got to understand. Well, that's not what most people are going to understand from this. If Crozier can get away with it, why can't I? Now, again, the question is, first of all, the acting SECNAV, like, I don't know, the current acting SECNAV, I don't know that he even has a voice in this. You weren't here. You're just along for the ride on this one, right? But the CNO has been, so the CNO, no comment when Modley did all of this. Where was he during all of this? And now his counsel is reinstate the guy, with all the implications that has for every commander in the U.S. military. Now, if I trust Modley as the chairman, what do I say? All right, I trust you on this. If I don't trust you, and then I say, look, you know, I have some reservations about this. I'd rather see a full investigation done. That's not a vote of great confidence. The Another email. Sorry, I didn't realize you were going to read it. I would have typed it better. No, you know what? I do that too. When I'm typing and I've got a thought in my head, I'll go back and read it and I leave out words. Right? I leave out words and all kinds of stuff. And it makes it difficult for whoever I'm thinking, reads it and goes, what the hell is wrong with him? My brain's working faster than my fingers. And they're not completely in sync. Yeah, so to me, I call it whatever you want. There is a disconnect there. And I think, well, there should be. I've never heard of anything like this. Somebody was relieved and got reinstated. Now, maybe it's happened. I've never heard of it, especially in this kind of a profile, high profile incident. Yeah, I would be, I wouldn't do it. I'd say, look, you know, if you want to give him another command, that's on you. You go ahead and do that. But we aren't going backwards on this one. So, anyway, interesting. More Ballmer Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good. But I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Yeah, Colleen's not sure if she's excited about the pull-up bar and her own personal step up there or not. But she said, "Dad, I want a six-pack." I'm like, hey, it's Southern California, man. We have beaches. You should want a six-pack. You want to see the path to the six-pack? It's through that pull-up bar. All right. P90X. Yeah, P90X has they have a thing called Ab Ripper X, which is about 17 minutes. And then they have this thing called Core Ab Plus, which is beyond that. And so I started doing them back to back, and they're both ass kickers. And the Core Plus thing is one that you get up on the bar and you do a bunch of stuff. Some of it's crazy. So I told her, hey, girlfriend, you want to have a six pack? This is what you got to do. And then I told her, the other thing, Colleen, is you can't, like one of the great misnomers that, you know, you see in popular news is, you know, targeting your weight loss. Your body stores fat the way your body stores fat, right? The way your DNA stores it, okay? You can't say, okay, I want to get rid of the fat in my arms. You can't do that. You got to get rid of the fat on your body to get rid of the fat on your arms. And so how do you do that? Well, you have to work out. Yeah. You have to work out. You have to work out your whole body. And then once you reduce your body, your fat content on your body, then guess what shows? I said, look, everybody's got abs. Most people are just covered in fat. She's like, I hate this part of it. No, it's the good part, right? Because you can get there. It's the path. Thoughts and prayers to the chef, Mac. Please let him know. I will. All right, some headlines before John Gerlach comes on. All right, from Stars and Stripes. Top story is U.S. still the world's biggest military spender as global expenditures approach $2 trillion. How about that? Story about Kim Jong-un, right, as there's still no sign of him. Thousands of 82nd Airborne paratroops to return home after a rapid deployment to the Middle East. Now, again, this is part of General Mattis's thing, right? Surging, being more unpredictable. Right. All right, so that Stars and Stripes real quick. Top stories in Marine Corps Times. The top stories are both about the Commandant, actions he took last week, suspending the PFT, and his letter to the Marine Corps about the Confederate battle flag. So those are in the news. And then we'll do the top five stories in Early Bird. The number one. Well, let me see if this has been updated. It has been. Number one, Navy's top brass reportedly wants fired Theodore Roosevelt CO restored to command. So we've talked about that. So it's been interesting. And General Milley's he's nobody's fool. When he says he wants a full investigation, then as the email said, right? That's going to take months. That's going to take months. And so, you know, I don't know what happened between Crozier, Strike Group, 7th Fleet, Pacific Fleet. I don't know what happened there. But somebody wasn't doing their job, and he threw their shit in the street in a public way. A, no matter what the case is, you're not supposed to do that. Okay. B, if one of them weren't doing their job and Crozier's right, that person gets fired too, but Crozier doesn't get reinstated. Okay. His careless way that he handled that can't go back on that. And we're not going to go back. So the way we do business is important. So Crozier's fired, right? He'll get another chance someplace. And, you know, because he was fired with an explanation, but he still did something wrong. Next is Admiral so-and-so. That dude's fired too. It can't be. Again, the Navy is confounding, honestly. I mean, you talk about an organization, in my opinion, that seems to be struggling to do the right thing all the time. It is the United States Navy. Number three, Navy Hospital Ship Comfort offloads few remaining patients before the New York City exit. With much fanfare, it showed up. It was marginally used, and I think let me tell you, all that happened, that crew jumped through its ass. They got underway because of a little bit of the Chicken Little thing that got going. That New York City was going to, everybody else was going to be like New York City, and Governor Cuomo's thing. Remember this. Slow is pro, okay? Slow is pro. And it's hard. It's not the deliberate decision-making that politicians know. It's harder. It's harder. It's dynamic decision-making happening in front of your face, asking you for a decision in hours, not days, not months. Number four, non-citizen U.S. troops sue the Pentagon over slowed naturalization process. As well they should. Number five, West Point plans to mass test and soft quarantine cadets coming back to graduate. So there you have it. Overseas operation, coronavirus cases numbers are dropping at bases in Japan, according to the U.S. Forces Japan commander. All right. That's a look at your news. We're going to take another quick break. And John Gerlach, you're going to find him an interesting dude for what he's doing now. We'll talk about Afghanistan with him. We'll also get his thoughts on. He's a State Department guy, spent a lot of his life there. So we'll talk to him about that as well. So don't touch that dial. Interesting dude coming up. You'll get a chance to meet him. So more of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.